And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is the fourth and final hour on a Friday of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. Big hour coming up. We'll get back to some of the Titans discussion that we've been having this morning, as well as an interesting twist with Ryan Ellis. Stay tuned for that. But yesterday, Major League Baseball comes down with their suspension after Ronald Acuna was hit by the Marlins two nights ago in the opening at bat. First pitch, Braves, Marlins. He gets a six-game suspension. That is what we led off the show with this morning. We'll get some thoughts on that. And Derek, you weren't here yesterday when we talked about that. I know you grew up in Detroit. Uh-huh. I know you have a little recollection of your Tigers back when they were relevant back in the day. But just in general, as a baseball fan, because we talked a lot about this yesterday, is that a Bush League move to hit somebody with a fastball? I'm curious to know from a football standpoint and in a tough guy sport, how you view baseball from the standpoint of hitting another person with a fastball.
That's like going at a guy's because the guy has been torching you all day, or he torched you last game, or whatever the case may be. You go directly at his knees, or you try to take a quarterback out. Well, go at a quarterback's knees. It's the same thing. There are some things, because this is the way I view it, and maybe other people don't, is that it's not about you and him. It's one thing to do something to kind of irritate a person, throw a pitch close to him and irritate him a little bit, you know, make him step out of the batter's box, make him afraid of swinging just a little bit, make him hesitate the next time you throw a fastball or whatnot, or curve or sinker, whatever the case may be. There's another to deliberately hit a guy with the pitch, because to me it goes beyond just that. He has a family to take care of. What if that pitch, you know, hits him in an area that now he can't recover from? You know, he breaks a bone that he just can't recover from, that he's not the same player. You hit him in the head, he gets a concussion, now he no longer can play. So it went from being, you know, all fun and games to, yeah, this is how we operate in the world of Major League Baseball, to now a guy can't play, period. A guy's career is affected because you chose to do something out of the norm. You chose to do something selfish because you were scared that the guy was going to, you know, further embarrass your team or, you know, continue his streak. So to me, I just don't, I don't like it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, you're dealing with somebody else's career. Why would you want to do that? You know, I've played a game of football. I was once told by, you know, Rod Woodson, the great Hall of Famer, you know, defensive back. He played, you know, many years with the Oakland Raiders and played at Pittsburgh, a Wisconsin grad. He and I were going against one another one day and in a game. And he said, listen here, young man. He, you know, because I was a younger guy. And
I like
he was an older
that.
Guy.
Listen here, young man.
Young buck. He's like, listen, you know, you help me, I'm going to help you. We don't do anything that's going to – don't go at my knees. And because it's not just about blocking. It's about, you know, I don't want you to put myself in a position, to put me in a position where now my career is ended, you know, because you go at my knees. Block me head up, you know, and you know, we'll work this thing out. If the play is coming to you, then I take care of you, you take care of me. And I understood what he meant, because – my thing was, I never wanted to end a guy's career by going cut blocking. I felt if I couldn't block him up high, I don't need to be blocking. So if you look at my career, I never really cut block people unless it was just like I had to. The coaches would tell me, you need to cut. No, I'm not cut blocking nobody. That could end that man's career. He has a family to take care of, you know. So I'm not doing that to him because I wouldn't want him to do it to me. You know, so this whole hitting a guy with a – I just don't like it, man, because it goes beyond that.
Yeah, and I've kind of come full circle on this. I first saw it, I was like, oh, I can't believe that happened.
And I don't know if he did it on purpose. But
well, he clearly did it on purpose, but the question is he trying to hurt the guy? And I don't think he's trying to hurt the guy. I think you know when somebody's trying to hurt the guy. Like, he threw at his rib cage. Acuna moved his elbow into the line of fire. If he had lifted up his elbow and let it hit him in the rib cage, it might have cracked a rib, but like, that's what you're supposed to do, is throw at the ribs and the back and the butt, and that's where you're supposed to aim if you're going to try to hit a guy, if you subscribe to the old rules of baseball. And so I've kind of come around on this a little bit. I don't understand the total ridiculous outrage. I think it's already out of the news cycle because we probably overreacted a little bit at first. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, I see worse on a regular season hockey game almost every single night. There's worse physical altercations than that one. And so I think you throw at a guy because he's hot. It's a little cowardly. It's a little bush league. I agree with everybody. I also don't think it's like this massive egregious error. That's why he's getting suspended for one start. I think that's a fair punishment. I think it's, you can bet that something's going to happen again when these two get together and he's pitching, right? I mean, that's the thing is you can, there'll be some dovetail to this, right? Like there'll be crossover or spillover into the next game when they play with this particular pitcher on the mound. So you know something will happen there, and that may be inappropriate, you know? Like, so it's just the old rules of retaliation and flipping bats and stuff is not exactly my thing. I don't appreciate it either, and I understand what D-Mace is saying. There's a way to go about doing it. But plunking a guy in baseball really isn't overly – like, to me, blindsiding someone in football or diving at your knees is way dirtier to me than plunking a guy.
You know, the one thing,
like, there's so many other dirtier things in sports.
The one thing that would stink about it is the retaliation standpoint. So, okay, Urena hits Acuna, and then the retaliation. So, like, let's just say you're on the Miami Marlins team, and you're going up to bat. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance you're going to get plunked and drilled as retaliation when you didn't really have anything to do with it. Like, whoever the Marlins center fielder is might get plunked by a Braves pitcher as retaliation. That would stink for me as a player, knowing that I could go up there possibly getting drilled when I didn't have anything to do with the entire situation.
Well, you see that happen a lot in baseball, too, where one guy gets hit in the inning, and then, you know, the next time around, another guy from the other team gets hit. Why? Because now we are retaliating because of what you did to one of our guys, and that's not right. You know?
And when someone decides to, hey, let's just end this stupid thing, right, then you look soft. Like, exactly. No, just maybe you're just tired of this circle we're going in where you hit my guy, I hit your – maybe we just need to, like, let it go. Like I think the right thing to do for the Braves is to let it go. You're way up in the standings. Focus on winning games and just let it go. And you'll get credit from people in the media. The fans may not be excited about that. The fans may want to see some retaliation. But at the end of the day, you're going to beat the Marlins by like 30 games in the standings. Let that do the talking. I mean, like, you're the better team. You're better. You know, you're sort of above that. I think you can sort of just let it go and it be okay. But again, like I always use Chris Mason's quote on this. Chris Mason always it stuck with me since the second I heard him say it. He goes, there's things that happen on a hockey rink that are 2-minute minor penalties in hockey that are criminal activity if you did it on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Like, if you did it on the sidewalk walking down on Broadway, it's a crime. You go inside Bridgestone Arena, that's a 2-minute minor. So I think this egregious error that he did, like, yeah, it was Bush League. Yeah, it was wrong. He paid his penalty. Let's move on. And I think that's sort of where I'm at. If you're throwing at the head, totally different story. Mm-hmm. If you throw at someone's head, you know, I'm all for a much longer suspension and a much heavier hand from Major League Baseball.
615-737-1025. Let's say good morning to Nate, who's up next on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys. My question is about the first base coach for the Braves. What I saw that I think he went after the pitcher a little bit, but he never got to him. Why did he get suspended for last night's game?
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he got suspended for last night's game.
Probably for, I guess, encroaching on another player as if he was going to physically retaliate.
Is there rules like the NBA where if you cross literally cross a physical line,
whether you join the fight or not,
right,
as soon as you get off the bench. Yes.
I love that NBA guy who, like, takes three steps out as fast as he can, and he's like, oh, crap, and he, like, runs back. I don't know. I'm unaware about the rules there.
Yeah, I just saw that he got suspended for last night's game, and I was kind of like, really? What did he do? He didn't do anything.
Okay, so you're saying he probably shouldn't have is what your point is?
He shoved him.
He made contact with him.
There you go.
So that's why.
He shoved him? Mm-hmm. I didn't see it.
Yeah, if you go back and look at the video, you can see it's a slight shove. I mean, I don't know if it's a full-on shove, but he made contact with him, and according to the rules, that's a suspension.
Well, you remember back in the day, like 20 years ago, I think it was.
Go ahead.
Back in the day, like 20 years ago, when the Red Sox and Yankees got into a brawl, I think I'm correct when I say Pedro Martinez, didn't he throw Don Zimmer to the ground?
By the sides of his head.
Yeah.
Wow.
But like he grabbed the short, fat, bald guy.
Yeah, the old Yankee
by the
coach.
Side of his head with
so
two
wrong.
Hands and threw him to the ground.
Now, in a National League, the pitchers don't bat, right?
Correct. DH American
see,
League.
Only. See, that's another reason. If this, do you think it happens more in the American League or the National League as far as batters being plucked? Because in the American League, if you pluck a batter,
you don't have to bat. If you're a pitcher in the AL, you don't have to go and face that. But if you're in the NL,
exactly.
Like Urena, if he's a starter on a given night, he's going to bat maybe twice if he pitches six
so
innings.
Now it could come back your way.
I didn't even think about that angle. It's a pretty good angle.
So I don't see why guys do it anyway, especially if you're in the NL and you have to bat as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. 615-737-1025. When we come back, why the Ryan Ellis deal has nothing to do with the future of the Tennessee Titans. Stay there. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 again. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. Our Morning Drive two-a-days will continue with the Broncos coming up in about 15 minutes, as well as on tap tonight. But why Ryan Ellis' contract and his deal has nothing to do with the future of the Tennessee Titans. And you might be thinking, Nick, did you just misspeak? Did you mean the Predators? No. Why does Ryan Ellis' contract have nothing to do with the future of the football team?
Well, and I'll let D-Mace speak on this, but I think Nashville sports fans need to separate when it comes to contracts specifically. Like we compare the Preds and the Titans all the time. They're both the pro sports teams here. They're both on the ascendancy there. They're on the way up. They've got some star power at the critical positions. We compare the atmospheres at the games, and we compare the sporting events in person and the live experience and what the organizations and the teams have done to sort of ingratiate themselves to the community. Like, we compare all this stuff. The one thing you cannot compare, it's just not fair to either side, is contract situations. The Titans are never going to be able to do with their homegrown talent, Kevin Byard, Adoree Jackson, Jack Conklin, Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, Taylor Lewan, Marcus Mariota, to what the Predators are doing to their talent, re-signing Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, soon to be Yossi, now Ellis, signing Kyle Turris to long-term deals. They're just never – the hometown discount thing is just never going to happen with the Titans fans and with Titans players. So it's great that the Titans have a lot of homegrown talent. It's awesome. It's good for the team. It gives them a chance to win. It means John Robinson's doing a good job. But don't ever compare the two contractual situations, because in the NFL, you're never going to ever get hometown discounts.
But real quick before you give your take, but the only thing I would say to that is not so much on the hometown discount front, but the homegrown talent. Like, you're never going to let your quarterback get to the open market. So they're going to they're gonna take care of Marcus.
Or left tackle.
But right. The other positions, corner, safety, those are the ones that you can understand why sometimes you can't bring back.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few positions on the football field that really only two that – well, three – that if you have them, you try to keep them at basically at any cost. That's the quarterback, the left tackle, and the defensive end, that pass rusher. Because of the way the league is going now, you need you a really good, dominant pass rusher. So if you have a guy like that, you try to keep him. You try to sign him to a long-term deal. But everyone else is sort of expendable in a sense, because guys nowadays, they understand. They see the landscape of the NFL, the sports, and they understand they only have – you know, a very small window, basically really only two contracts. If you get that third contract, then, man, that's luck, really. But it's those two contracts that you try to get as much as you possibly can, because you can't get that money back ever. So guys are not taking hometown discounts. Taylor Lewan wasn't going to take a hometown discount to stay here in Nashville. He felt he was worth X amount of dollars. He felt he believes in his mind that he is the best left tackle in the National Football League, that he should be paid higher than the guy that's paid above him, or he should be right around that ballpark. And he was absolutely right. So there was no way Taylor was going to take you know, a hometown discount. Or I give you $1 million, million and a half less just to stay here in Nashville. Not really. You need to give me all my money because it's not guaranteed. Now, portions of it is guaranteed, but for the most part, you know, later on down in this contract, I'm pretty sure the Tennessee Titans will look to restructure moving forward. But in basketball, baseball, hockey, guys can't afford to take sort of a hometown discount because, you know, all their money's guaranteed. You know, they don't have to worry about after 2 years getting cut. Well, they can get cut, but you still got to pay them. In the NFL, it just doesn't happen.
No, we said earlier, too, that Ryan Ellis might have gotten another $500,000, maybe $750,000 if he went to free agency. And people say, well, you know, is it really that big of a deal? He missed out. Like, yeah, I mean, that's 12.5% of your salary. So I know we live in this world where we can't process the fact that athletes make so much money. But, like, you know, would you take 12.5% less if you're a $50,000 employee? I mean, that money actually, I know it's hard to get your head around that, but that money is a big.
But it's, I mean, it's all relative. And I said this, you know, an hour ago, that I listened to Ryan Ellis talk about his contract situation, and I think David Poyle is a master because he convinces these guys that the best thing for you is to stay here because we have something going and, you know, we're going to be competitive for the next 10, 12 years. And you hope that's the case. But, you know, in sports, that's never really the case because people move, injuries, everything, things tend to change. But he's found a way to convince these guys that, you know, you taking a discount is better than going somewhere else.
And we have to sort of explain the discount to some degree.
Yeah.
It's a per-year discount for
exactly.
Sure, but he was never going to get 8 years somewhere else. He might have gotten $7 million, 6.75 somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. But so he maybe, wouldn't have got that extra
But he
year.
Wouldn't have got the extra year. So if you really do the math, you sign him for 7 years, $7 million. Well, that's $49 million guaranteed. That's less money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it helps the Predators sign other players. That $500,000 per year maybe helps them sign some extra player or give some extra money to somebody else. So it helps his team, and that you could call that a hometown discount. That's true. First of all, I think he's worth about $6.5 million. I don't think he's a $7.5 million defenseman, regardless of what the market would or would not have paid for him. They would have paid probably more for him on the free agency market, but they were not going to give him 8 years and $7 million. It was not going to happen anywhere else. If he got $7 million 6 years. Then we're talking $42 million, which is still $8 million less. So David Poyle did give him more money than anybody else would have given him. He just did it in a way that Ellis gets more money, but it also helps the team. Mm-hmm. Now, he makes a little less per year. That's definitely his sacrifice in this, and that doesn't happen in the NFL. But you do have to sort of look at this and say, well, if he signed for 6 years, $7 million with somebody else because he wanted to, quote, take the money, the NHL is guaranteed $42 million, last time I checked, is less than $50. So, in theory, he's at the end of the contract, which is a long way from now. If he's here or no matter where he is, he's locked into that $50 million. So he's getting that $50 million no matter where he is.
But here's the thing. It's hard to move him because you have this set number.
But it's cheaper, though.
No, what I'm saying is you can't move
per
him.
Per year, sorry.
Yeah, you can't move him because someone might not have the salary cap room to take them, and they might want to take them, but because this number is fixed, there's only certain places you can move him.
Well, it's funny you said that because Johnny sent us a tweet earlier. He said, yes, Ellis may be getting overpaid in the final year of his deal, but what makes it still a better deal than other deals like it is Ellis can be moved to, say, Arizona if the contract becomes an anchor for the Preds. This is where I would disagree with that response. If it's an anchor to the Preds and it becomes a bad deal,
nobody else is taking it.
Why would somebody else take your bad problem?
Exactly. Especially if the play is not equal to the pay, then people are – they're not going to take on a deal. And then you have to – it's almost as if you have to brokerage a bad deal on your side just to get out of the deal that you established, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Now you got to maybe, you know, add somebody else to the equation that you really – a young player that you didn't want to add – because of the deal. Now, granted, again, Poyle is great at being a GM, and he's convinced these guys to you know, take a little less per year. I'm not saying they're still getting their money, but guys look at it, if I'm making, you know, 7.5 looks better than, you know, 6'5 with an extra year. 7'5 with one less year looks better than 6'5 with an extra year, even though you're getting more money at the end. But looks, it's, you know, perception is different. But, you know, when I look at Ellis, it's that whole thing of, you know, guys in the NFL, just they just don't see it that way, because it's like, we got to get our money up front, man. We can't worry about my life and my family's life can't be, you know, put on hold or navigated based upon who's going to sign with me next year. Which, you know, if Marcus is going to sign next year, or if Jack Conklin's going to sign, I can't worry about what they're going to do. I got to worry about what I'm going to do. And if this deal isn't good for me and my family, then I can't take it.
And Ryan Ellis will get $6.25 million in 2027.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
No matter what. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Like, that Taylor Lewan may not live out his contract.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, we all assume he will. I mean, it's the odds are he will, but, like, you just never know. And a player gets hurt. Listen, hockey is an extraordinarily physical sport. It's just not the same as football. Nothing is the same as pro football, where you're completely destroying your body for basically the rest of your life, and it affects your status of life. So you have to, and the contracts aren't guaranteed, so you have to get every penny you can. And I think every player in the league, and D-Mace, you've said it a million times, every player's on the other player's side.
Uh-huh.
Every player's like, yeah, you sit out from camp, dude. You get your contract. You don't need to come to camp. We'll handle this. It's not that way in every other sport, no, where it's guaranteed.
All right, coming up next, Morning Drive 2-a-days continue in the AFC West. Up next, the Denver Broncos. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. That's right, Morning Drive 2-a-days continue here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we are in the AFC West, one division to go until we get to the AFC South. And here to talk about the Denver Broncos, Brandon Kristol from KOA News Radio in Denver. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Doing excellent. When I look at this Denver Broncos team, because it's funny, you look in the AFC West and the Chargers are everybody's, you know, sexy pick to win the division and maybe make a deep push in the playoffs. We see Gruden in Oakland. We see the new quarterback in Kansas City. But I look at Denver, and I think that roster is pretty darn good. If Case Keenum can be 80% of what he was last year in Minnesota, I think Denver can make some noise. Is that the feeling around Bronco country?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, although they're paying him $18 million a year, so they'd like him to be at least 100% of what he was last year, which was 22 touchdowns and 7 picks. And I think, honestly, they'd like him to be closer to 30 touchdowns and 10, 12 picks. And Case said something interesting a couple weeks ago when he was doing his weekly press conference. You know, they've trot the quarterback out once a week and Von Miller, and they kind of just rotate guys, and everybody goes every 7 to 10 days until you start getting into games. And he said he wants every single drive to end in a kick. And I couldn't believe that I had never heard that, and maybe I have, but it hadn't stuck with me. So obviously he wants it to end in an extra point, a field goal, or even a punt. And now that they've added Marquette King from the Raiders, who was kicking the crap out of the ball here at Mile High the other night, ending with a punt isn't the worst thing in the world, because the guy's averaging almost 50 yards a punt. And so to end every drive in a kick and think of that as your philosophy and just never turn the ball over, not that they were trying to turn the ball over last year, but other than the Browns, they were the second worst turnover team in the league, and it put the defense, which is still really talented, in a big hole. So if Case can be close to what he was last year, if not better, then the Broncos could be knocking on the door in the AFC West, and even if the Chargers are everyone's favorite pick, they could sneak right past them, I think, without that much surprise to those who follow the division closely.
Now, the Denver Broncos, over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, they've had a really stout defense, obviously led by Von Miller. But in recent years, they've lost certain players, most notably this past season, Tlaib. They cut Tlaib, I believe, at the end of the season or somewhere around there. How do they replace him? Is, you know, Bradley Roby and Chris Harris, I know Chris Harris Jr. is a pretty, really good corner, but can Bradley Roby replace what Tlaib brought to that defense?
I mean, they certainly think that he can. He's a first-round pick, but Tlaib's knocking on Hall of Fame kind of numbers with the number of return touchdowns that he has. He's just a couple behind Rod Woodson for that all-time mark. And so he's a guy that could be wearing a gold jacket now that he's gone to 4 straight Pro Bowls here in Denver. So they trade him to the Rams, and they hope Roby in his fifth year, so they're paying him $9 million on his rookie deal, hoping that it was worth the investment and that that'll lead to a 5-year deal, and maybe it's Malcolm Butler kind of money, maybe it's a little less, depending on if they can get him to sign a deal early, but he's played, what, 65 to 70% of the snaps mm-hmm. pretty much since his rookie year, but definitely from year two on. And now he'll obviously be out there for whatever, 100% or close to it. Maybe they take him out in goal line as one of the top corners. So, yeah, he has Chris Harris on the other side. And I think Roby will be fine because he has been before. I think the bigger issue is what do they do in that third and fourth corner spot? They've got a couple of rookies, and they added Tremaine Brock, who came over from Minnesota. But Tremaine Brock barely played for the Vikings last year between being a little nicked up and having some off-the-field issues that were resolved. It just kept him off the field in Minnesota. A couple of years ago, when he was playing with the Niners, though, he was considered, maybe next to Chris Harris Jr., the best slot corner in football. At least that's what Von Miller said, and I'll take him at his word. He said that to us a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's maybe the biggest question mark of any of the position groups in terms of quality depth. You know, the Broncos don't have their running back situation sorted out because they have five kids who can really all play, and their fifth and sixth wide receiver is a big-time competition. O-line is trying to develop new chemistry with some new pieces, but I think corner depth is the biggest area of concern for me if I'm the Broncos. But to your point about the defense, they still have Von Miller, they have Derek Wolfe, they have those linebackers in the middle. Justin Simmons is probably going to be in the Pro Bowl conversation at safety. They still have Darian Stewart, part of that no-fly zone. So if Case can do what he's supposed to do and just keep them in games or give them a lead, then that defense can pin its ears back. And by the way, they added Bradley Chubb, the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, this is an interesting division to me. I can't really get my head around it. The Chargers always do Chargers things, but they feel like they're the best team on paper. Oakland could bounce back because you like some of the talent there, but they're having this weird thing with Khalil Mack and John Gruden. And of course, the Chiefs look like the most talented, but are breaking in a brand-new quarterback. So are the Broncos closer to 5-11 and fourth in the division, or are they closer to, hey, this whole thing could be between 8-8, 9-7, and they're in that mix?
It feels like they're closer to that, only because when you look at the margin for error in the NFL, and Derek, you can speak to this, but we had Howard Balzer on because we're on this push to get Pat Bowlen into the Hall of Fame, and he's one of the Hall of Fame voters on the Contributors Committee. And he brought up something that I definitely agreed with and probably am going to steal and quit giving him credit for, but he said basically every team in the NFL, save for a couple at the top and a couple at the bottom, are 8-8. And then it becomes a question of, during the season, can you get from 8-8 to 9-10 wins and be in the playoff conversation? Or do you fall back like the Broncos did last year? They were 9-7 the year before, and they slipped to 5-11 because things just don't go your way. And I think that I'd agree with that, especially when you look at the parity in this league, the trend that quarterbacks are finally developing. You know, right, we have 330 million people in America, and I'm always curious why we can't find 32 good quarterbacks. But but it feels like we're trending up if these young kids can come into their own, and Jared Goff can keep doing what he's doing, and Andrew Luck's back healthy. So I if I were going to Vegas, or where else can you bet legally right now? Delaware, Jersey, can you bet legally in Mississippi?
It's changing by the day.
Right. If I could go anywhere and bet, I would take the over on the 7 wins, or even 7.5, because obviously you can't get a half a win, but I'd take the over if I'm the Broncos. Do I think they're a 12, 13, 14-win team? No, not right now. But are they in that 8, 9, 10, and maybe if the ball bounces your way, could you get to 11 and easily win the division? Probably so. And so that's the way I'd lean. But it's all predicated on what the offense does. They turned the ball over so much last year that it just put the defense in such a bad spot. They were top five in run defense and in pass defense, but terrible in points allowed because they kept giving the other team the ball, the offense did, and the special teams. They had 5 muffed punts with this kid Isaiah McKenzie, who looks to be a little more sure-handed this year and had a 78-yard return in the opening preseason game. But it was putting that defense behind the eight ball that their points allowed was, you know, in the bottom third easily because they were already in the minus territory almost every time they took the field.
Well, Brandon, I did take the over of 7 wins for the Broncos this year, so if you need a few outlets, I can certainly point you in the right direction.
I appreciate that. We're just waiting for – it can't get on the ballot here in Colorado because of when the legislature meets until the end of this fall. So we can't place bets till next football season just based on logistics here. But at least it's nice to have more options if you're so inclined.
Yeah. Let me get your thoughts on the number one headline right now on ESPN.com. It's the top line. John Elway says that Colin Kaepernick had a chance to be a Denver Bronco, and he passed. What can you add to the story? What do you know about that story?
Well, it's funny because whenever you get Colin Kaepernick questions, it's not that it's something that you don't think about, but if it's not the story you're writing or if it's not at the front of mind, when it comes out, you're like, oh, okay, that's a good Good question. Nikki Jabal, who's a really good writer here for The Athletic and worked for the Denver Post for a long time, she threw it out there at John, and John, who's a little salty kind of yesterday all the way through, and maybe it's because he's coming to the realization that Paxton Lynch is, I think he's already come to this realization, but number one pick that is not going to be part of this football team much longer. So he's already kind of on edge, even if he is excited about Chad Kelly and Case Keenum, because it's an obvious failure in his selection of a quarterback. So the whole tone of the press conference was a little weird anyway, and then that gets thrown in there. And he certainly, I don't think, was caught off guard by the question or having an answer ready. And that's kind of what John does a lot of the time, is he has kind of stock ideas in his mind, and he is right. I mean, they negotiated a deal. I think they had Colin out here twice, including once at John's house, and wanted him to take the pay cut. They were going to make him the starter coming off the Super Bowl and Peyton retiring and losing Brock Osweiler, and they couldn't come together on the money between what the Niners were willing to pay, the pay cut Kaepernick was going to have to take, and then what the Broncos were willing to pay, and I think that number was around 7, and he was owed 11 or 12. So John has just moved on, and it depends on where you're sitting. Some people think that he sounds like a hypocrite because he was toe-to-toe with Brock Osweiler or Jimmy Sexton, specifically Brock's agent, and then Brock chose the Texans, and John, who had known Brock since he was roommates with his son at Arizona State and drafted him the same year they signed Peyton Manning in a draft that also had guys like Kirk Cousins and Nick Foles and Russell Wilson, including, of course, at the top, Luck and RG3. And so John felt spurned by Brock, and I think it was obvious and disappointed that Brock chose to go to Houston for $7, $8 million more instead of staying in Denver off a Super Bowl winner. But then Brock was allowed back last year for the league minimum. So some people say it's a totally different deal and everybody's different. But the way John answered that question, it made it sound like, look, you had a chance to be here and you chose not to take it. Well, okay, what if Colin wanted to be there again now, just like Brock showed up and said, hey, I'll play for the league minimum, and I just want to come compete to be a backup, not even the starter. It just depends on how you want to look into the semantics of all of it or the way John said it. But it at least clears the Broncos, probably, like he mentioned in his deposition. They offered him a job, which is more than a lot of other teams did, and so they may still be able to prove collusion across the league, but the Broncos feel like they're cleared in the matter.
Brandon, good stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Say hi to Wesley Woodyard for me.
You got it. Brandon Kristol, KOA News Radio in Denver.
He brings up an interesting name because Woodyard not practicing. If he doesn't practice again, then we know it's not maintenance, right? Then we know he might be hurt. So we'll have to keep an eye on Wesley Woodyard. He's a critical member of that team, especially with Rashawn Evans not practicing right now.
Coming up next, it is time for On Tap Tonight. Stay there. It's Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D-Mason Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. Chase McCabe's got something interesting to add to the program coming up in a couple of moments. But as always,
about time.
at 9:45 or thereabouts, it's time for On Tap Tonight.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight, now on Morning Drive.
All right, boys. Five NFL games tonight, preseason football. I can't help myself.
God, what a degenerate
you will be dabbling. You've got the Giants and the Lions. You've got Kansas City and Atlanta. You've got Miami and Carolina. You've got Buffalo, Cleveland. You've got Arizona, New Orleans. Five preseason games tonight. The rest of them will be this weekend, including your Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Last night, I gave you three NFL picks against the spread. I went 1-2.
Oh, don't gamble on preseason football, people.
I have fallen.
No, you didn't go 1-2. You went 1-2.
Yes. Yeah.
You said the Steelers -5, and
plus,
they gave up
+5. Plus five. They got
gave up 51 points.
Yeah. Did Aaron Rodgers play the whole game? Or something?
I don't think he played at all. I don't even know.
He played the whole game.
is Barkley playing tonight for the Giants? I think that's going to be interesting to watch. I'm assuming they're protecting that leg there. Really want to see Josh Rosen. I think that'll be fun to watch. I'm assuming he'll get some snaps. I actually sat down. Like, my wife is like, "Is this a real football game?" Last night I had the Jets game on, and she goes, "Is this a real football game?" And I go, first of all, I want to listen to Jason Witten, see how he does, and I think he did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm like, I just want to watch a couple series to see Sam Darnold play. So I want to see Josh Rosen play. Anything Cleveland's doing is actually interesting right now at the quarterback position with their receiving core. Miami, Buffalo, Carolina, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City, that's interesting. It's mostly about quarterbacks for me. So I'm watching those quarterbacks, and –
The big one coming up tomorrow, though, of course, you got Nashville SC playing against Louisville tomorrow. They are tied for eighth place, which is the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference standing. So Nashville SC tomorrow against one of the better teams, Louisville City up there, on the road. They're back at home again next weekend, but big one tomorrow on the road against Louisville.
You want a gambling pick? You want to lose some money?
What's the point spread on the Nashville
SC
game?
I
have no idea what the spread is.
Why would I
want
to lose money?
I'm going to give you one pick today. All right.
Okay.
Kansas City and Atlanta, the Falcons and Chiefs tonight. The total is 40. 40 total points. Mm-hmm. I'm going over.
Are you serious?
So who plays? So you're saying Kansas City, Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
So who's that going to be? Like Brody Croyle versus Chris Chandler? Like who's playing quarterback for those two guys?
Yeah, like seriously, dude.
I mean, who honestly is playing quarterback?
Matt Ryan and the Falcons were really bad last week. I don't think they will look as bad offensively tonight. So
that's a good strategy.
A little momentum, you know, maybe try to prove people wrong from last week.
I like
and then
that.
Patrick Mahomes certainly has to play a little bit more tonight. They've got weapons, so I'm going to go with the over.
Okay. I still am concerned about your general health and well-being if you're gambling on preseason football games. D-Maze, what movies are you watching this weekend? You always go into some movie.
I don't know because I have to.
We should do like a segment called Movies with Mason.
Yeah, I have to. My daughter's moving back to college. She's going back to school. So,
oh.
Yeah, so I have to. We got to do all that this weekend. So
Do you have to drive?
I'm not driving this time. No. Because
you already moved her in,
yes,
right?
We already, all of our stuff was
Did
just
you cut
in
that
storage.
Tuition check yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah, man. Well, she has a lot of scholarship money, which is
awesome. That's good.
But, yeah, we still had to cut the check.
All right. Of course you do. Now, by the way. Huh? Did you get that 90-minute massage that you were talking about prior to your little sickness in the middle of the week?
Yeah. That was Monday. Was it Monday?
Did you end up falling asleep?
Yeah, I fell asleep.
In the middle of the massage?
And I hated it. No, I
hate
it.
That you fell asleep?
Yes, because I don't know if...
You don't enjoy the massage?
No, because I don't know if she did a good job or not.
Well, you didn't feel better when you woke up?
It was weird because it was like I got up. And I was like, I don't know if she did it. Did she miss a body? Did she not get my leg or something or my arm?
Did you tip her?
No, it's all built in.
See, what I'd be upset about if I fell asleep during a massage, like the point of a massage for me is like I want to be awake, but I want to be super calm and
mellow. Yeah, and I just felt completely asleep.
But I want to enjoy the massage. Like if you fall asleep.
You don't enjoy it.
Right. Like your body may be in better shape when you wake up. Uh-huh. You may be more relaxed and better, you know, all the toxins or whatever, like all the stuff that happens. You're going to feel all that, and that's good. But, like, the physical act of the massage is sort of the big selling point to me.
I went to bed. I fell asleep.
Chase McCabe would sleep through a five-hour massage.
That's true.
Sleep through a five-hour nap. It's unbelievable.
Which is amazing, and I'm very jealous of him, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
The reason I bring that up is I went and got one yesterday.
You guys.
And it was a 40-minute massage.
Who gets a 40?
Yeah,
I'm not a high roller like you, so I don't go into like these
still,
real high-end
40-minute
boutiques.
Massages is like...
No. Here's the deal. Check out they got massage things that'll come to your house now.
Yeah, that's
it's money.
Right, yeah.
It's money.
What is it?
It's awesome.
That's probably out of my budget.
No, it's not. It's like it's like $100 for an hour.
Oh, it's out of my budget.
Well, what did you pay? What do you pay for 45 minutes?
For 40, it was 30 plus a tip.
Oh, so God, that's super cheap.
I gave him $40.
That's super cheap.
Man, I just.
But here's my issue.
Man
with
or
the
woman?
Massage.
Here's the question. Man or woman?
Oh, I always want the dude.
No, never.
I like how you said that.
No,
why?
I'm never letting it. No.
Why? What about deep tissue?
It don't matter.
That's why I'm saying.
No.
I want to be broken in half.
No. If you put deep tissue in there, they will send someone.
Dudes every time.
That specializes in deep tissue. But I do not want
another
guy touching me like
that.
No.
I am completely comfortable in my own skin.
No, I'm comfortable
Nick
in my own skin.
Nick is way more comfortable than you, clearly.
But here was my issue with the massage. When I got done and I sat up, he twisted me and tried to crack my back.
Uh-huh.
And I turned around. I was like, are you a chiropractor? And he said, no. I go, well, then don't crack my back.
And I mean, he does know a little bit about the human body.
I was dead serious. I was like, I go to a chiropractor. I was like, no. Just work the muscles.
Okay. Soft tissue.
No subluxation.
No.
At least he didn't say, no, I actually just work at McDonald's. I'm just here.
Well, if he does, he does a good massage.
No, I won't.
That's cheap, man.
Yeah.
That's super cheap.
Well, it was in a mall.
That explains it. And also why he tried to do things that he's not allowed to do. But again, I'm telling you, these ones that come to your house are awesome. Like, you pay like whatever, an extra 15 or 20 bucks, but
I'll do that for the anniversary.
But you get your own room and your own house and your own little thing. Like it's great that way.
It's like 40 minutes. Seriously?
You got to do an hour. You got to do an hour.
Sorry, D. Not all of us played in the league for 15 years.
That's a good point. Me eating a cheese pizza and not having like a soda. That's the only time I drink a soda is when I have a cheese pizza.
I got my wife one that was at our house, and she was like, it's the best thing. It was an hour, and she got a massage. Like, you know, we had downstairs in the office. I had the two kids upstairs. She was totally shut off, but she was in her own house, so she was even more comfortable than going in and getting a massage. They're money at the house.
Yes,
man.
Nick.
Spend the extra $15.
And don't have a dude massaging you, Nick.
That makes you a little you're a little scared there, D-Mace.
Yeah, absolutely. I am. I said I am scared. Absolutely. I am scared.
All right, fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Chase McCabe, what do we have back at the Game Nashville Studios presented by Wholesaling?
Don't touch my traps.
All right, I only have about 8 seconds to get this out, but I'm starting a new podcast. We have the Chasing Checkers podcast that is still going on. Bubba Wallace will be my guest that comes out this afternoon.
Very excited
about that. But also coming out this afternoon, and you can hear it Sunday at 11 and 4 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You guys have even asked me about doing this. I've had a lot of people on Twitter asking when this was going to happen. I am finally doing a wrestling podcast. It is called Through the Ropes. And this weekend, our week in studio, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, will be my guest for the entire hour. So he's going to come in. So look for that, Through the Ropes. Excited to do it. And also Chasing Checker. So I'm the niche sport guy. Wrestling, NASCAR, I got you covered.
Now, should you say niche or niche? What's the appropriate? If it's niche. A wrestling and NASCAR podcast, I don't think you should say niche. Because wrestling and NASCAR
they lend themselves
to niche.
You do realize wrestling.
I'm saying the way you say it, like you sound more snobby when you say niche, and wrestling and NASCAR aren't particularly snobby sports. That's the golf fan.
Wrestling's the golf for losers. No.
I cannot imagine a better human being to host a wrestling or NASCAR podcast than Chase McCabe. So I can't wait for it. You check it out. I will check it out because I don't know anything about wrestling, but I know you do, and that's why I want to listen.
Well, I appreciate that. And having a Hall of Famer like Jeff Jarrett in studio is going to be cool. Tell stories and talk about SummerSlam this weekend, so it'll be fun.
Will you allow him to smash a guitar over your head?
If he brings one, absolutely. We'll have social.
Chase, go buy a cheap used guitar for like $20 and do that. It would be a great video.
The wood is thin.
They make those specialty. Yeah.
Go get one, dude. That would be brilliant.
Chase, come on, man.
We'll have to do
it's
that.
All it's all marketing.
I'll chip in. I'll give you like 5 bones or clams.
I give you about 2.
Wow.
Jeez, you're cheap, dude.
If you chip in before you pay off your golf ball, bet me and you are going to have words.
You're so cheap.
All right, that's going to do it for a Friday
edition. Fall asleep during
a
massage.
Of Morning Drive. I'm off to get a massage. Everybody have a great day. Many thanks to Josh Ward, Eric Bacharach, as well as our Morning Drive 2-A-Day guests. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. on ESPN 102.5 again.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a great weekend, and I love you.